Back to the 19th chapter of John. A few years ago, there was a film called The Passion of the Christ. It was shown in many of the local movie theaters, and we were shocked when we saw the reenactment of the immense suffering of Jesus Christ during the events of his crucifixion. To realize that he was there suffering in my place, that he was taking my sin, my guilt upon himself. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, who was crucified for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I understand that it was his love for me that nailed him to that tree, to die in agony for all my sin. It was for my own guilt and blame the great Redeemer came, willing to bear the shame of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine. In him, God's mercies combine. His love will never decline, and he loves me. Now, we do read, and we read it this morning, that before he was crucified, they scourged him. Now, the scourging was an extremely painful experience. In fact, the pulpit commentary tells us that this flagellus inflicted hideous torture. It was inflicted on slaves using elm rods or straps, having lead balls or sharp pointed bones that were attached. The prisoner was tied with thongs to a post so that his back was bare and tense. The flagellation usually brought blood with the first blow as it broke open the flesh, and it reduced the back to a fearful state of raw, quivering flesh. Strong men oftentimes died under it. The historian Josephus tells us that it was inflicted on a person before they were crucified. Now, we know that Jesus being scourged was a part of God's plan. But the question is, why would God plan to have him scourged? We know that he died for our sins. We know that he bore our sins on the cross. But why would the Father allow his Son, whom he loved, to suffer such excruciating pain as the scourging before he was crucified? We know that God did plan it, because God told us about it hundreds of years before in the prophet Isaiah, where he said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from their shame and spitting. In Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And so it was prophesied in the scripture, and Jesus prophesied of it himself. There in Matthew 20:18, he said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. But the third day he shall rise again. The purpose of the scourging was to force confessions from the person who was being crucified. They were able to solve a lot of the unsolved crimes in the community through this process. The way it went was this. as the person was being scourged, as they would lay the lash to the back, ripping open the flesh and the pain of those little bits of lead or glass that were embedded in the leather, as it would strip the back open, the idea was if the prisoner would confess a crime, the next blow would be a little lighter. And each time he would confess a crime, the blow would be lighter. But if he would not confess, then they would continue the intensity and increase the intensity of the blows upon the back in order to force a confession. Now, Jesus was without sin. He had nothing to confess, which means that he took the extreme punishment of that scourging because nothing to confess of his guilt. They always had a scribe that was standing by, and he would record these confessions. And again, as the scripture said, as the sheep before their shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth, which means nothing to confess, thus the full impact of the scourging. When Paul made a speech in Hebrew to the Jews from the porch of the Antonio fortress there in Jerusalem, the Jews all rebelled. They started throwing things into the air and crying for Paul's death. And the captain of the guard ordered Paul to be brought into the Antonio fortress to protect him from the mob that was rioting outside. And he ordered the captain of the guard, scourge him, find out what he was saying. Because Jesus was talking in the Hebrew language, he didn't understand it, but he wanted to know what Jesus said that inflamed the crowd as it did. And so as they started to prepare Paul for the scourging, Paul said to the captain of the guard, "Is it lawful to scourge a Roman citizen who has not been charged with any crime?" The captain of the guard said, "Are you a Roman citizen?" He said, "I bought my citizenship. It cost me pretty much." Paul said, "I was freeborn." The captain went to his officer in charge and he said, "Do you know that this man is a Roman citizen?" And so he ordered Paul released from the scourging. But Paul pulled his trump card, his Roman citizenship, and the scourging was halted. Paul had experienced beatings from the Jews during his ministry. He said, "Five times I received 40 stripes, save one." Usually the sentence was 40. 40 was a number of judgment. The ark was, the rain came for 40 days and for 40 nights. And Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before coming into the promised land. 39 was a number of mercy. Not much mercy, but instead of 40 stripes, 39 stripes. And because they said judgment should be tempered with mercy. It is obvious that it was God's will that Jesus should be scourged, inasmuch as if he told it in advance. So we must search for the reason. Why would God allow this horrible scourging to happen to his son above and beyond the crucifixion itself? I cannot believe that God would allow his son to suffer some pain if there wasn't a cause or a purpose for him being scourged. We must remember that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. He claimed that he was born to be a king, and so they crowned him with a crown of thorns. But where did the thorns come from? Way back in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord said, "Cursed be the ground. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth." And so the thorns resulted from God's curse for sin. And thus, quite appropriate, that Jesus, bearing our sins, would wear a crown of thorns pressed into his skull. Years ago, in Tucson, Arizona, I was directing camps for the YMCA. And we had a camp out on the backside of Mount Lemmon that we had dubbed Scorpion Gulch because of the number of scorpions in that camp. And I had taken the boys one day on a hike up the mountain to this mine. And actually, the camp was originally built there for the miners who were actually working in this gold mine that was there. And a lot of the stuff was still around the gold mine itself. And so we would hike the boys up there so that they could see what a mine was like, and we would go into the mine for a little bit. And as we were coming back with these boys coming down the trail, I was leading them, and I heard a yell come out behind me, and so I went back up the group of boys to find out what the problem was. And there was this one little kid yelling like everything as he had walked by an achoa cactus. And an achoa cactus is called a jumping cactus. It really doesn't jump, but if you will just brush against it, it breaks off very easily and attaches to you. And it is very painful because it's just got covered with thorns in every direction. And so I got a couple of sticks, worked them in between the thorns because you can't just pull it off. And I flipped the cacti off of his hand where he had brushed against it. And as I was working the sticks in to flip it off, this little kid said, "That darn guy, Adam." And I said, "You must go to Sunday school." He said, "Yeah, I go to the Baptist church." But he had that right. That's where the thorns came from. The sin of Adam, thorns and thistles shall the ground bring forth. So sickness and death are the consequence of sin in this world. And I believe that Adam and Eve, when they were created perfect physical specimens. I believe that they were totally impervious to sickness of any sort, and that within the fruit of that tree that God said, "Don't eat of that," the forbidden fruit, there was a certain bacteria or virus that would break down the immune system of the body and make man subject unto sickness and disease, so that all disease and sickness is a result of sin. I believe that this bacteria also caused a mutation and the breakdown of the cells that created the aging process. So you ladies, as you look in the mirror and you see the wrinkles beginning to form, you can say, "That darn guy, Adam." It's, again, going back to Sin entered the world. We don't see the world that God created. We see a world that is cursed by sin. And we don't see the people living as God intended them to live. God had much better plans than this. But I believe that the tree of life there in the Garden of Eden was an antidote to the poison that was there in that forbidden tree, the fruit of the forbidden tree in the middle of the garden. And so I do believe that God put the angel there to guard the garden, to keep Adam and Eve from returning and eating of this second tree that would have been an antidote to the poison that was in the first tree, and that it was, you know, the reason why God didn't want man to live forever in the sinful state. So Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Isaiah tells us the reason why God allowed Jesus to suffer the scourging. It's that he bore our grief and carried our sorrows, and that by his stripes, that is the scourging, we would be healed. The word translated grief in Hebrew is koli, which is the Hebrew word for infirmity or sickness. Thus, Isaiah 53:4 should read, "Surely he has borne our sicknesses." Matthew tells us in chapter 8:16 that when the evening had come, they brought to Jesus many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which were spoken by Isaiah, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our pain." This is Matthew's correct translation of Isaiah 53. He bore our pain in his death there on the cross. When Jesus broke the bread at the Passover meal with his disciples, he said, "This is my body broken for you." Up until this time, whenever they observed the Passover and they had the broken bread, it reminded them of the lamb that was slain in Egypt, and they ate in order that they might have strength for the journey as they were going to be escaping from the Egyptians. Now, when we take communion, we usually understand the cup. As we drink of the cup, Jesus said, "This cup is a new covenant. It is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins." And so we understand that, that he died in order to provide the forgiveness of our sins. But then the broken bread at communion, it reminds us of his body broken for us, that we through him might have healing for our broken bodies. The atonement for our sin was complete in his death, in his blood that he shed for our sins. But the healing and the removal of the curse of sin was accomplished by the scourging. By his stripes, the scripture says, we are healed. The fundamentalists have interpreted this as spiritual healing, but that comes from their presupposition that all of the miracles ceased with the death of the apostles. But Matthew surely would not agree with them, for he associates this with the physical healings that were wrought by Jesus. James would not agree, for James wrote, Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Paul instructs the Corinthian church concerning their partaking of communion. And he warned about their taking it in a careless manner, just a unworthy manner. He declared because of the way, well, actually, we read that there in Corinth, they were having sort of getting drunk and then taking communion. And Paul warned them against this and said that many of them were weak and sickly, and some had even died because they didn't discern the Lord's body. And that is that through the suffering of Jesus, through the through his stripes, we'll leave out the flagellation. I got it. Okay. Had to quit thinking about it. But it's a thing that there he purchased our healing. And why are they whipping my Jesus? Why does the lash descend? Why must his quivering shoulders, Christ, to the swift lash lend? Is not the cross tree of Calvary sufficient to pardon my guilt? Why are they whipping my Jesus? Tell me, my friend, if you will. For this, they're whipping my Jesus as the lashes rise and fall. Here he is purchasing healing without the judgment hall. Jesus himself bear our sorrows. Yes, Jesus himself bear our pain. Cast now your burdens upon him, and health through his stripes now regain. Why would God allow his son to be scourged, to experience that torture? Until I can find a better answer in the scriptures, I will have to accept that his death was for my sin, but the scourging was for my healing. Suffering causes us to be empathetic towards the suffering of others. In Hebrews 2:17, it says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brothers, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In that he suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted." There would never be anyone so low that he could not touch them. He became as the lowest of men. Have you ever felt rejected? He understands that. The Bible said he came to his own received him not. They cried, "Not this man, release Barabbas." Have you ever felt grief? He was despised and rejected of men. The Bible said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Are you suffering pain? The Bible said it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Do you ever felt abandoned by God? Remember there on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Have you ever felt rejected? Are you grieving? Are you in pain? Do you feel forsaken by God? Jesus went through all of this for you, that he might understand you and that he might help you through these difficult situations in life. And so we would encourage you today to turn to Jesus and allow him to minister to you. If you are sick, if you are weak in body, he came to heal you in order that you might be strong and healthy. And so I would encourage you this day, receive his touch, receive his healing that he suffered. By his stripes, you were healed. And even as we have received by faith salvation through his death, so may we receive the health and the strength through his life and through his suffering for us, understanding that he died in my place, but he also suffered in my place to relieve me and release me from suffering. So all that you need is in Jesus. And we just encourage you, open your heart, open your life, receive all that he has for you this day. You'll never be sorry. Father, thank you for what you have done, sending your son to take our sins, sending your son to take our suffering, our sickness, our weakness. And so, Lord, today we pray that we might appropriate through faith that work of Jesus on our behalf, that it might provide for all of our needs. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and for your provision through him, that by his stripes we are healed. And so, Lord, we pray for those who are here today suffering in body, afflicted in body. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved us so much. You bore our sufferings for us, sufferings greater than anything we could and have ever experienced. And yet, Lord, you took it for us. And so, Lord, we pray that even now you will give us that faith to just reach out and to receive from you the full benefit of all that you were willing to endure, that we might have strong, healthy, pain-free bodies. Thank you, Jesus, that you were so gracious in the things that you did for us. And may we, Lord, appropriate and apply unto our own lives all of the benefits that are ours through what you have done. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Let's stand. The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you today. If you're needing a touch of God in your life, maybe physically, they're here to pray for you. The Bible said, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. God wants to work in your life today. Don't hold back. Why should you go on as you are when God has done so much to make you so much better, to touch you, to strengthen you? Why go on in pain and suffering when Jesus suffered for you? And so we would encourage you this day, receive the full benefit of the work of Jesus Christ, even as you have received the benefit of the forgiveness of sins through the cross. Receive the benefit of a strong, healthy body through his suffering for you. For by his stripes, you were healed. So may you receive that touch. And you don't have to come forward. You can do it right where you are right now. Just receive it. I mean, just that's where it is. Just open your heart and say, Lord, I accept and receive what you've done for me. But maybe it would help if one of these men down here would just lay hands on you and pray for you, because that's scriptural too. And so we would encourage you. Don't just head off, but just head toward the Lord and the work that he has wrought for you, and receive the fullness of God's blessings that he wants to bestow upon you today, because he loves you more than you could ever realize. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.